Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And I suggest you shut up and show more football.
Come on, come on. Figure. We've done that thing. Can we not knock it?
I am flabbergasted. I wouldn't even let him on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to Manchester.
Again, please don't call me arrogant, because what I'm saying is true. I think I'm a special one.
When the seagulls follow the troll, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea.
I understand what I'm trying to get at. Yes, he was a great player. Yes, he was a wonderful leader. But he wasn't a magician.
Well, take him out, son. I mean that. Take him.
Andrew, you can hear me.
Yes, I can, Richard. I'm loud and clear.
Excellent. Well, let's hope everybody else can. The reason for the stuttered start is that I sit in glorious Qatar, where temperatures today are expected to rise to about 23, 24 degrees, blue skies, deep yellow sun. The water looks magnificent. Yes. My colleague this week is elsewhere in the world. Do you wish to explain, Andrew? Oh, before we go any further, I'm Richard Keys.
Oh, yeah, and I'm Andy Gray. Yeah. Distance somewhat from Richard Keys, yes.
Do you wish to explain why?
No, I sit, Richard, in with blue skies up above, with slight clouds, where I'm expecting temperatures to rise to a balmy -2 today. because I've gone back to the UK. I'm officially have a knee replacement. Few problems with it. Yes, I've had to come and take the advice of people who know better than I that, listen, you're an object whose body is falling apart in certain places. We need to get it fixed. So I shall be out the country, I'm in Qatar, for probably 4, 5, 6 weeks, something like that.
I think after 6 operations on that knee, son, and a playing career that was tested you. Virtually every time you took to the field, you're long overdue, and good luck to you. Well, by the way, getting back, did you have any trouble? I was reading some horror stories this morning when I woke up. 4-hour delays at Heathrow, getting through customs and the like.
No, we were lucky. Rachel and I just straight through, showed our COVID negative test forms, showed our locator forms. And we were through in 10, 15 minutes easy. It was like what was really weird. I know it's not quite, but what was so weird, I mean, that beautiful airport at Hamad in Doha when I left it yesterday, my goodness, what a very strange place. An airport that's been, for 8 years, we've been there bustling and busy and deserted. And I mean, it was like a ghost town. Really strange.
Terrible. Terrible, really is a terrible shame. Incidentally, you are listening to the Keys and Gray podcast. If you wish to get in touch with us, you can at Keys and Gray, spell it all out, Keys and A-N-D Gray. You can get us both at Insta and Twitter. A whole lot of things to get through this week, Andrew, in no particular order, because that's what I like about this podcast. It's never necessarily structured. Our guest today will fascinate...
That's true, that's obvious.
Our guest will fascinate Scots, I hope. A guy as a young man that wouldn't say boo to a goose that's turned into a I'm not quite sure if he swears more these days than Peter Reid, but he's certainly right up there with the very best. He's in the Champions League.
Yeah, he's up there.
An Oscar winner, working these days in India. Anyway, to the most important subject of the week, I believe, social media and abuse. I've just got this little soapbox out here, Andy, because I know this is an area you probably won't want to stray into, so let me do my best here.
No, I'm happy to.
Disgusting. Wrong.
Yeah.
Those that trade in this kind of exchange with different individuals, they're not keyboard warriors. They are keyboard cowards. They're the sort of people that when you meet them in the street, cower, disappear, smile, wave, ask you how you are, hide behind anonymity and the ability that it provides to bully people. It's come to the fore this week, obviously because of Mike Dean, and I'll get round to that. But I'm looking at a back page here from the Daily Mirror today, Steve Bruce, whose family have also been abused. Now, I know what you're going to say. That's the downside to the social media, and it is, and it shouldn't be the case, and people should not be racially abused either. I think we're getting, as Ray Wilkins might say, a tad carried away. In my view, Brucey hasn't received death threats. A message to the effect, "We hope you die," is not a death threat. Cyril Regis getting a bullet through the post when he was making his England debut, that's a death threat.
A
contract taken out on an individual, that's a death threat. You see, I thought about this with Mike Dean, Andy. Mason and Dean, you might as well have left last week's decisions to Torville and Dean. They'd have done better. But both were stood down from this weekend's round of matches. And Mike claimed to have had death threats and therefore withdrew from this weekend's round of Premier League games. But he took on an FA Cup tie in midweek. Now, are we to believe that the threat was accompanied with the suggestion that it would be at a Premier League game that harm were done and that he'd be okay to turn out in the FA Cup? You see, I could be very wrong here, and I am happy to be corrected, but I think Mike was going to be stood down this week and jumped before he was pushed. Mason also stood down this week. The two of them in recent weeks have had an absolute nightmare between them. Now, my mind with that, Andy, then followed on to discipline. On a football pitch, a referee will expect an individual that has been disciplined to accept the punishment, move on. Why can't Dean?
Yeah.
Why can't Dean?
I don't know, is he? Is he not accepting it?
Well, I think he's covering up. That would be my view, that he is covering up.
Do you not concede, though, that he has been, since last weekend, he will have been and has been abused, I'm not saying threatened, but abused terribly on social media?
Yes, like I do. A lot of other people. And there's a very simple solution for him. Get off social media. He shouldn't be on in the first place. He's a referee. He really shouldn't be there. I mean, these guys have elevated themselves, Andy. I've said this to you so many times on a match day now, to the most important element of the game. And I don't understand how that's happened or why, because they're not. They're part of the day out. They're not the most important element. But VAR has certainly played a part in that respect. I mean, I quote you from Martin Samuel this week, talking about this very same thing. It may be that he, Dean, this is, has jumped before he was pushed. He's withdrawn from Premier League duty this weekend and has reported death threats. Some people are despicable. If it is any consolation, the type of person issuing threats on social media tends to be of an age that isn't trusted with cutlery, let alone guns. Much like the idiot who accosted Professor Chris Whitty in the street, the problem can often be solved if mummy takes away his PlayStation. Well,
I get that.
I'm kind of with Martin on that. Something has to be done. Listen, Andy, you're talking to an expert. You don't follow my Twitter account, but those who do will know. I mean, death threats. Last summer at the height of the Saudi bid to take over Newcastle United, I'm receiving pictures of my face with "Kill Keys" written across the front. Now, if that's not a death threat, I don't know what is. But I know also that it's a deeply worrying message to receive, but also from someone who has issues. You know, if I'd been invited to the Saudi embassy,
Richard. Let me ask you. You say, because I mean, you're social media active. I'm not. You know, we kind of can balance this out. But if you say to me there, well, there's a simple solution for Mike Dean, get off of social media. What if somebody says to you, well, TJ, there's a simple solution for you if you don't want to be abused. Get off social media.
Absolutely. But you see, I believe social media to also be a good. I've always said this. I think it is a way. In a world now where we operate, where there's not just a barrier, there are barriers between supporters and fans. And football. It is a way to engage and be in touch. It is for me. It is for me and be in sports in general. And I used to enjoy, I would sit sometimes and take a Q&A session with people. And I used to enjoy that. It was fun. So I engage because I believe the social media, the good that goes with it, far outweighs the minority of idiots, and that's what they are, that think they're having an effect. If I did that, I would be bowing to their demands to silence me.
I get that argument.
And I'm not doing that.
I get that argument then. So I've got a simple question then to you then, to people like yourself who, listen, I know you've been plenty abused. My family, my boy, follows you and informs me for the last couple of years of the many, many vile stories of vile abuse on your Twitter site. So I know about it. So there's a simple question for me to you then, as someone who's not on Twitter. What is the solution? Or is there a solution?
Well, if you can silence the President of the United States, the former President of the United States, in the manner that they have, so completely, so easily and so quickly, then I really don't know what the problem is, Andy. And for me, I think football, like me, the counter side to it is football clubs trade on the social media. There's money to be made. There is for Ronaldo. I mean, what's it? 250,000 every tweet, is it? Sterling? Something of that order.
Wow.
So there's a reason to do it. The social media companies make money too. That's not an excuse.
Yeah.
But they are in a position whereby they can shut down, or football itself has to send a very strong message and say, listen, you're making money off the back of what we do. We're out of this for a week, and then everybody has to just walk away. But it's not right. But I think that there are examples of individuals, and I'm not going to mention his name again, who perhaps are diluting the real issue with a Bruno Fernandes type scream on the football pitch, and I just don't think that it's a direction in which we need to go. And I hope.
By the way, remember, Richard, this is not a new thing. You were in my company many, many years ago when we worked on a company, and you can remember when I criticised. Remember?
I do.
And I flagged up a ridiculous challenge from Julian Dixon and Nicole on a West Ham Man United game. And then they went potty, West Ham fans, absolutely potty. All sorts of, dare I say, threats, or certainly abuse, and vile abuse.
Well, actually, case, I'm sorry to stop, in your case, they were threats.
Go on.
They were threats, and you needed, if I remember correctly, you needed security for the best part of two, 3 months every time you went to a football match.
Yes. And I was walking around the football pitch, and an empty stadium, to go and come to your studio, and there were two guys, one either side of me, walking with me, and I had to say to them eventually, guys, this is ridiculous. We're walking around an empty stadium. Honestly, can you not just go and sit somewhere, leave me alone? But I remember what that felt like, and trust me, I know, although I've made light of it, it's still worrying when you get that level of that threat level that was going around then. But never in a million years, Keezy, I have to say, 20-odd years down the line, did I think that this would become a daily dose for high-profile, dare I say, celebrities, sportsmen, whoever, to receive abuse and threats. It's shocking. And we must be able to do it. I was reading about Martin Samuel today, and he's quite right. If we can stop the pornographers, then surely we can stop these abusers.
Yes. I really don't see what listen again. You have to be so careful with what is said these days. But again, not to make light of this subject, but go further back than your problems when Mike Summerby and George Best were sharing a flat in Manchester. Neither was living in it, but they shared it. Bestie ahead of a Manchester derby received death threats. It was obviously a huge story at the time. But Bestie, this was Main Road that the game was being played, and Bestie being George, I'm not taking this too seriously, but Bestie would play left of Manchester United's attack and Mike Summerby right of City's. So, of course, as they lined up at the start of the game, they were stood opposite each other. And Mike said to Bestie, do us a favour, George. He said, what's that? He said, could you go and play on the other side today? And George said, why? He said, because if that threat was serious, I don't want to be too near. Yeah.
You might be a sniper in the stand. Oh, that was a good one, Bestie.
Tony Collins, dead at 94, first black manager in English football. Yeah. I could be wrong, and I texted him this week. He didn't reply. Maybe there are reasons for that. But I think this first black manager, Andy, was appointed chief scout at Manchester United by Ron Atkinson. What an irony, eh? I met him many times.
I think he was, you know. Yeah. No, I think that's right. I think Ron did bring him into football management or coaching or whatever it was then. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I leave conclusions to be drawn by those that are aware, obviously, of all the facts and allegations around Ron Atkinson. Yeah. Brexit block on foreign bosses. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Bielsa would not be working in the Premier League if post-Brexit regulations applied. This is going to have a dramatic effect on the Championship rather more than the Premier League. But if top managers get in, it isn't necessarily the case that they'll be bringing an entourage with them. I see this only as something that is a positive for the game, particularly, as I said, for the Championship.
Too.
I mean, Daniel Farke wouldn't be managing at Norwich. We've got some good coaches, some good British coaches.
Perhaps a bright, young, potentially great Brit might be managing, given the opportunity at Norwich, but he wouldn't, or he hasn't been able to get, because we've been importing copious amounts of foreign coaches over the years.
Yes. Well, let's hope that that develops in a manner that we would quite like. Andy Dunn in the Mirror again today. Oscar-worthy dives can only be stopped by the actors' directors. In other words, by the managers. David Moyes made mention of this week. And here's another one. I mean, the amount of time that we've spent recently, I particularly, about the number of soft penalties Manchester United are getting, the most recent Martial's dive, which was a disgrace. I mean, Moyes's been calling on players to take responsibility and to stop doing this. Mm-hmm. The best example of this, of course, Suchek and Mitrovic, as Andy Dunn argues here, big guy. Should he really have gone down the way he did? Well, no, he shouldn't. Listen, you've been there. I don't know. The shock of getting an elbow in the face, either intentionally or mistakenly, maybe that's enough to
All right, so let me tell you a bit what I think Mitrovic happened there. Like every modern-day footballer, certainly 90% of them, so I don't want to condemn everybody, because someone will find somebody who doesn't. But the slightest touch of any part of anybody onto a player, and he wants to win a free kick, he's down. He's hitting the ground. Now, I think the elbow, the arm just come up, it catches Mitrovic in the head, and I think his instinct now, almost with players, instinct that they go to the ground. Now, I think once down there, I think he quickly made his mind up and that I maybe just overdid it. I might have overdone that a little bit. Yeah. And what I liked is that, yes, he got him in trouble maybe because he went to ground too easy. Tell me somebody who doesn't. Again, I say it. But what a lot of people don't do, up he got, tried to say to Mike Dean, listen, that's not a sending off, Mike. Mike, that's not a sending off. But as we know, Mike doesn't listen to other people once he's made his mind up. And he went off. So I think there was good and bad about Mitrovic, but I think the good far outweighed the bad. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I mean, Dunn concludes by saying, next time a West Ham player feigns injury, let's see Moyes call him out for it. I think David would. Next time Mitrovic collapses without cause, let's hear Scott Parker condemn him. I don't think Scott Parker would. Next time Martial dives, let's enjoy Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's admonishment. I would Martial, Rashford and Fernandes. But it's not going to happen. It should, but unfortunately, it's the world we currently live in, and it's only exacerbated by the empty stadium because we hear these squeals and these screams.
Yes, I know.
And really, it's pathetic.
I'll tell you what it's changed, Richard. You remember, you and I were covering the game those days back in the UK, but you remember in the early days of Chelsea, was it just after Mourinho took over and they signed Drogba?
Yes.
And remember the first year or so, 18 months, you know, Didier would go down the stream and if his shorts got a little rip in them or something, or a piece of mud on them. And he was unbelievable at just hitting the ground. I mean, 6'3", you know, powerful as he could be. And yet here was this guy screaming and going to ground so easily. And from what we hear, I don't know if it's true, but folklore tells us that the boys got together and says, listen, Didier, we don't do that. You know, you're a brilliant player. You don't have to do that. And subsequently, he stopped doing it. Now, that was then, but as you say quite rightly, the game is in a different place now.
Very much so. One last point on Newcastle United, back to Martin Samuel. Newcastle, as we know, beat Saints last week with nine men. They'd lost Callum Wilson, Mankio, Alan Saint-Maximin, and Jeff Hendricks sent off before Fabian Schär went off on a stretcher. So they were down
what
to nine.
Saint-Maximin.
down to nine for 25 minutes. It was one of the gutsiest performances by any team in this campaign, says Sammy. Indeed, one wonders who could possibly have inspired it, bearing in mind the manager is that stale, dull, tactically illiterate Steve Bruce. Must have been Graham Jones again. Quite an influence he's having. Yeah, quite right. Yeah.
I know. And well done, Sammy. I saw that one as well, and I had a chuckle because it's just, you and I know a few Newcastle fans, and many have said, oh, Graham Jones is a graphic story. He might have be helping Steve, and he is. But trust me, these decisions and these games were made by the coach, the manager himself. And if the players were shown allegiance and support for somebody in these last few games, than it's been for the manager. So I'm delighted for Steve because absolutely, he has been battered from pillar to post at times up there.
The online casino Stashbird have run a poll to find out who is the best-looking Premier League manager. I mentioned this to you on BeIN Sports last week, so I know you're aware, but you may have forgotten. For the rest, I'll fill in the gaps.
Oh, no. No. I was too surprised. I'm aware.
I'm the king of the list, and I'm laughing now. In 20th place, Roy Hodgson. Rising.
Oh, that's ages for a start.
In, brand new with a bullet, Sam Allardyce at 19. 18, Chris Wilder. 17, the aforementioned Steve Bruce. 16, Bielsa. Ancelotti takes a very proud 15th. Moyes at 14. Santo at 13. Brendan Rodgers, surprisingly, in at 12. Ralph Hasenhüttl, 11. Solskjaer, 10. Graham Potter takes 9th place. Dean Smith in 8th. And this is where it gets interesting. Sean Dyche, would you believe, is the 7th best.
What? Yeah. Dyche!
So I think Dyche's punching for sure. At 6, Pep Guardiola.
Oh, yes.
At 5, Jurgen Klopp. Now our top four, Jose Mourinho. In 3rd place, Mikel Arteta. I am so handsome. In 2nd, Tuchel. And I'm not having that. I'm sorry. No,
I'm sorry.
And the best looking manager in the Premier League, it turns out, according to this poll, is Scott Parker.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah, I can see that maybe. But I'm not. There's a few in there. I mean, you know, I think it's not for me, but I think a couple of that top six. I mean, no particular. I mean, Tuchel, he's punching. I think much as a great coach, Jurgen's punching. I'm sorry. He's punching above his weight if he's in the top six. Has to be.
Right. Okay, let's get semi-serious because I think we're going to have a fun 20 minutes now. Our guest today, Andy, it's come to us from a roundabout set of contacts, but nevertheless, I'm so pleased. As I said right at the start of this series, it's our podcast, so we can do what we like with it. I'm delighted many of you are listening, and now you found us. Please tell your mates, subscribe, and the podcast will arrive every week automatically. But we can talk to people that might not necessarily get a hearing elsewhere. And this week, very good example of that, but a fascinating character. So let's meet our guest. So long before Andy, there was a left back called Andy Robertson. There was the best part of a £1 million purchase at Rangers from Aberdeen.
Correct.
By the name of David Robertson, who's now award-winning filmmaker or the centrepiece of an award-winning film, and working in Kashmir. A 5-time Scottish Premiership winner with Rangers. That man is David Robertson, who joins us now. David, how are you?
I'm very good indeed. And I'll just copyright, it was 6 times Scottish League Championship.
Was it?
Six times. David, I was going to correct him there. It was six times. You're absolutely right, fella. Yes.
He's also times. These days, he's not the quiet, unassuming left fullback that Rangers signed. He's a man, as you've just discovered,
really?
Who can look after himself. And in a recent documentary, how long was that documentary, David, the first one?
How long was it?
Yeah, was it an hour long?
1 hour.
1 hour. So you managed to say,
yes.
Fuck, on more than 100 occasions in that 1 hour.
Yeah. I'm ashamed to admit that, yes. And I believe the second documentary was even more. But there you go.
By the way, David, that beat Peter Reid. Hook, line, you've done him. You have now created a world record. Brilliant.
This is a documentary that Scots will know... will have seen, Davey. So for the rest that haven't, explain to us why you were so colourful with your language and just exactly what the documentary was about.
Well, it all started with me taking a crazy decision against my wife's wishes. We had a lovely, luxurious lifestyle in Arizona. And then 4 years ago, I decided that I'm going to go to Kashmir, of all places. Having never been to India, let alone Kashmir, I did no research. I didn't realise it was the world's most militarised zone. And I thought everywhere in India was hot and warm. But unfortunately, I arrived in Kashmir January 2017, and there was about 4 foot of snow. There was no internet. Electricity was...
It's like Aberdeen.
and they spent money the same way as Aberdonians do as well. But it was a real eye-opener, to be honest with you. And you know, coming from a place like Arizona and obviously playing for Leeds and Rangers, you know, you're sort of bought, you know, with luxuries and what have you. So my first night training, I showed up and there's no balls. Well, in fact, they had balls. They took a ball each. There's no training kit. Some of them were wearing leather jackets to train. It was just horrendous. And then the second day, as I said, there was snow. So when I arrived in the snow, I got up one morning and I looked out the window. I thought, oh, we can train here. So next day, one of the owners says to me, oh, you can go indoors. You can have a session indoors. I was expecting a school gym hall or something. It turns out that I go into this small room, it was 12 by 6, it had windows everywhere, two ceiling fans, and I had 24 adults. And somehow I managed to last an hour and a half with no breaking any windows or ceiling fans or what have you. So the next day they said, oh, they've cleared the pitch. The police have cleared the pitch. So I go to the AstroTurf pitch and all they've done is build snowman. So you have to sort of do slalom through all these piles of snow. So the next morning, I said, I'll tell you what, let's go back to the indoor place. So I had this driver that would take me in India. You probably know that everyone's late. So this day I'm late for training and we go to this indoor place again. So we do the same sort of session, just make up as I went along. I'm waiting, the driver's late, and as I'm waiting, all I see is people putting furniture back in this room. It was actually somebody's house. It was somebody's living room that we were training in. And so then it gets even better. So then we meant to be playing in this league too in Delhi, but it was meant to be in maybe a week, 2 weeks' time. But the weather was so bad we couldn't train anywhere. So we decided, right, okay, but to save money, the team will go by road to Delhi. And I can fly. So I get a flight. It takes an hour to get there. I'm waiting there for 3 days. 3 days I'm waiting and there's no team. And it turns out they actually got stuck. They got stuck in the snow in a tunnel for 3 days. Obviously, they couldn't use their phones because their batteries died. It was just horrendous. And then...
Oh, wow.
You know, then I decided, I need to get back to Arizona. So I go back to my wife, and believe it or not, after about 2 weeks, I thought, I actually really miss this chaos.
You missed it.
For some crazy reason, I missed it. But as time's gone on, it's actually got better and better. You know, we're the only club that sponsored by Adidas. You know, I took this team from virtually nothing. It was basically a pile of ashes, and we went into the I League and did well. And you know, it's been a bit of a fairy tale, really. But you know, when I first stepped off that plane, I just I thought to myself, I've gone back in time about 150 years.
Are you working at altitude as well? Because you struggle with altitude sickness, don't you?
Well, believe it or not, this season, because of the pandemic, all the games are in Kolkata, so it's actually quite good. So I don't have to go to Kashmir. Because the altitude, I think it's about 6,000 feet above sea level. So we win a lot of our games at home, obviously, because everyone else used to the sunshine. even away games. When we go to an away game is two flights, which takes 2 days.
See, I'm just looking at a line from the documentary here. I don't want to mention the publication. It's from the Sunday Scum. Sun. In Scotland. David is the unconscious comedian of the show, it says. Describing his altitude sickness on camera, he says, "That was the worst day of my life, and I've played at Albion Rovers." So, okay.
By the way, David, is Albion Rovers that bad?
It was when I was there, I tell you.
So, okay. So we've got some of the detail, but not all of us get a call that takes us from, where did you say you were in America?
Arizona.
Okay, not all of us get a call from suggesting we leave Arizona and go and work in Kashmir. How did that happen? And actually, what was the process, your thought process in accepting the job?
I'd been in Phoenix for, 10 years. And during that time, I was the head coach of Phoenix FC, which is now called Phoenix Rising. And we went through lawsuits and all sorts of nonsense and eventually changed hands. And I really missed the professional game. So I had an agent that would contact me now and again and offer me positions or, "Are you interested in this?" And suddenly they dressed up the offer a little bit to go to Kashmir. And they just said, "Do you fancy coming? It's a new club, I-League 2. And I thought, "Yeah, I'll have a crack at it." And there was no, they didn't have to sell anything. I just thought, "I'll have a go." I'm a bit of a guy that'll just jump into things, 2 feet, and then think about the consequences later. Because I thought to myself, it can't be that bad. But when I actually arrived, it was 10 times worse than that.
And what did Mrs. Robinson,
I was just going to say, David, tell me, because I spoke to Big Eck this morning. I just gave him a quick text to tell him we were going to talk to you. He sends his best, by the way. And what he said to me, he said, "I don't know what's happened to David," he said, "because that was a mild-mannered left-back who wouldn't say booty a goose. And now he's turned into a fire-breathing dragon of a coach." When did that happen?
Just before you answer the question, David, let me interject again with a line, Andy, from the documentary. Robertson tells his players after he leaves, we make sure that we trample all over this team, so he never wants to see our faces again. He shouts over at one player during drills, "Shut the fuck up. If you played as much as you fucking spoke, you'd be some fucking player."
Oh, okay then.
So what happened?
I had a nice, easy lifestyle for 10 years in America. I then, get into a place, it's just, there's absolutely no common sense. Nothing makes sense. Anything you find, I mean, even little things like Boy, who looks after all the kit man, he decides that, "Coach, I'm going to take the balls home and I'm going to wash them." And I goes, "Okay, that's fine, that's nice here." Next morning you come in and he says, "Coach, you don't need balls today because I've forgotten to take them with me." So, I started a session with no football. So every day is an adventure. I just snap, the slightest thing I snap. As I say, I'm quite easygoing and quiet and shy. You're up against it. Every day is a challenge. You get up in the morning and sometimes you can't even phone home because there's no internet. I don't think it's never really directed at a player. It's almost a fighting for a bit of a bit of normality and getting.
Hold on a minute. Never directed at a player. Hold on, you.
That quote
I'm just getting your team to read out there. You pointed out to one and said, "Listen, you effing shut up because you effing should be here." That wasn't directed at anyone, was it?
No. But he was saying against my wish. So that doesn't count. He wasn't one of my players, man. It's a player I inherited.
All right. But in amongst all of this, it sounds like you're enjoying it, Davey.
No, I do every time. Honestly, every time I go home, I'm ready to come back. You know, like, I remember last, every year you come back and you think, oh, it'll be a lot better this year. I remember the start of last season. The Dutch, the way got rid of the Article 370 in Kashmir, the day that we arrived in Kolkata, and which meant we couldn't go back to Kolkata, we couldn't go back to Kashmir because they'd actually cut all the phone lines, they cut all the internet, and all the Kashmiri players that were with us, they couldn't even call home, and they didn't even know if because there was a lot of, you know, trouble going on, shootings and stuff, they didn't even know if our family were alive. And that was in day one, you know, so. You know, you think that you're making progress. Maybe stupidly enough, I think the club's making progress and I'm making progress. But maybe we're going backwards because every time it just seems to get worse and worse.
But in general, what's the scene in India like now? Because that's got better, hasn't it, over the last 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, no, it's better. You know, I think we've actually established ourselves as quite a good team. We just won the Indian Football Association Shield. We won that. You know, the level's very, very good. You know, there's guy Owen Coyle's over here just now, and Laszlo coaches here.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, you know, it's definitely picking up. It's a little bit like USA. You know, it's taking the time. ISL's good. That's like the league. There's two leagues that are side by side. They're the franchise league. The I-League's the oldest league. So we're looking to move to the other league at some point, but we need to get, you know, the structure correct, and we'll probably need a new stadium in Kashmir as well.
Give Owen our best, by the way, if you speak.
Davey, let me ask you. I'll give you the sunshine of Arizona, all things being equal, or the snow-capped mountains of Kashmir. What are you picking?
Well, the snow-capped mountains of Kashmir is nice, but the place Srinagar is not quite like that. The capital's a real industrial town, and you know what I mean, you've got to sort of watch where you go kind of thing. I think today, because I'm stuck in a hotel, we're in a bit of a bubble here, I'd probably prefer to go to Arizona at the moment. I know my wife would far rather I would go over there, you know, with my friend, you know, going out to the pool in the back garden, you know, and here I'm sometimes dodging bullets.
I've heard some horror stories, Davey, when players have signed for clubs and ultimately their wives have been shown around the area surrounding the workplace, and they haven't been too impressed. Alan Shearer's wife comes to mind when she saw Blackburn for the first time. But what did Mrs. Robertson say when she saw Kashmir?
Well, I think the first thing she saw was soldiers with guns. There was donkeys and sheep and cows walking along the street. So I think she was a bit shocked. I told her a lot about it. You know, I think I've moaned quite a lot about it. But it's actually quite funny when you sign players and they ask, well, what's it like? And I just say, look, it's not the best place in the world. Just think of the worst place you can imagine. It's 10 times worse than that. So when they come there, they're never disappointed.
I know what she said, Dave. I've got a funny feeling that when she saw that, you said, what do you think, love? I think she might have said, you're on your own, love. I'm back there.
Well, it was even worse because the last thing she came out 2 weeks before the lockdown. So we were actually stuck in the hotel for, I think, two months.
Wow.
So you could imagine, I'm stuck in the room with her for, you know, 24 hours a day, nowhere to go. You're not allowed outside the hotel, which is a small hotel anyway. And you could imagine the ear bashing I got 24 hours a day.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let me tell you another little story, Davey. January the 2nd, I turned to my mate and I said, that's it. It's done. It's all over. And he said, no, not yet. This is Rangers. But subsequently, I was proved right. It was. Rangers end 10 barren years this season, don't they?
Yeah, definitely, you know, it's actually quite funny on social media when you look at all the, you know, the role reversals. It used to be, you know, Rangers supporters, or sorry, Celtic supporters giving Rangers supporters a bit sick, and now it's totally the opposite way. And, it's just amazing. It's amazing in the space of, what, a year? In the space of a year, how Celtic have just totally capitulated. It's incredible. You know, no one would ever have thought that. But it's good to see. It keeps... you know, Andy as well, you as well, that you're still part of a 9-in-a-row team, because if Celtic got the 10, it doesn't matter anymore. Yeah.
No, I know. Well, listen, I know we're all very proud of that. What I meant to ask you, I was talking to Keezy and Big Ed today, and we weren't quite sure. Who was it that signed you? Was it Sue or Walter?
That's a funny story.
We agreed
to sign with my agent, but I remember it was going to the final game of the season. The last game was the final day when Aberdeen played Rangers at Ibrox. Aberdeen needed a draw. I'd already officially agreed to sign for Rangers at that point with Walter Smith, but 2 or 3 weeks before that, we were all on a minibus going to Seaton Park in the Aberdeen minibus, and we're coming back and the radio, and I'd already agreed to come to Rangers at this point. And then on the radio, breaking news, Graeme Souness has gone to Liverpool. And everybody on the bus is cheering and jumping about. I'm sitting there with my head in my hands thinking, oh my God, what's happening now? I was the unhappiest guy in the minibus then. But to be fair, Walter continued it. So I never actually got a chance to meet or play under Graeme Souness, which I would love to, but Walter was fantastic.
Magnificent.
I have to confess, I was sweating for a moment where that might be going, bearing in mind Graeme was involved. But
oh, do you know, Keezy, I wanted to ask as well, Dickie? That was you talked about the fee, David. Now, £970,000 changed number. Was that because they didn't want to make it a million for some reason?
God, I thought we got away from this.
It was done through... Nah, I don't know. Maybe it was, but I thought... I think it was as a tribunal that set the fee, so I don't know why they decided on the 970.
All right.
I know Rangers wanted to pay about 100,000. Aberdeen wanted about 1.5 million or something. So they
settled in
the
middle.
No idea what happened, but settled it somewhere in the middle, yeah.
Well, David, I have to tell you, I've not chuckled quite as long or as loud in some considerable time. It's been an absolute pleasure, my friend.
Yeah.
What's the rest of the year like for you? How does it unfold from here?
We've got a game tomorrow. We play in the Rocker. If we win, we go top of the league. And then they do a split. There's 11 teams in the league. They're only playing each other once at a central venue in Kolkata. So it splits into the top six. We'll play against each other again. And then the winner obviously wins the league and qualifies for the Asian Champions League. And then the bottom five teams fight for relegation. So the next two games are pretty vital for us, because it's very close. In this league, anybody can beat anyone. So we'll see where it goes.
No, they can't. Kashmir are nailed-on favourites, and it would be a terrific
Rangers
and Kashmir.
Right behind you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll stay in touch, David.
Perfect. Okay, brilliant. Thanks a lot.
It's great to talk.
Thanks, David. Cheers, mate.
Brilliant, Andy. I mean, we need to stay across that and find out what happens to Kashmir going forward. It would be a wonderful double,
absolutely.
It really would.
I mean, it would be extraordinary. But isn't it amazing how we used to do a thing? Remember on the radio, we used to do a thing called Brits Abroad.
Yes.
And it was amazing how many strange places in the world that we found a Brit working abroad. And I mean, well, I don't know if there's any as strange as that. The war-torn area of Kashmir,
where
bombs and bullets are an everyday occurrence.
You were right. We went to all sorts of different places. That very same radio station, now I'm sorry to say, Talk Sport. I mean, it's a national radio station. The one thing I said to you when we got there was, well, I, when I'm listening, I never hear stories from Scotland or Wales or Ireland.
Yeah.
And you know, how fortunate were we that we stumbled across the Rangers tale in its infancy as well. But that's what happens, I think, when you look a little more broadly, shall we say.
A little more broadly.
Well, that's it. Having asked Davey what his schedule's like, what's yours over the next 10 days? Lockdown. Simple as that, is it?
Lockdown. Yeah. Lockdown here. Just wait and see. Get in touch with the surgeon and see what his plans are. But I think we could take a test here back in the UK now after 5 days if you're negative coming in. 5 days. And if you're negative again, they'll reduce the quarantine to just a week. So I'm hoping that that's the case, and I can get this done sooner rather than later and get back to the balmy temperatures of Doha.
Yeah, and having spoken to John Hartson about knee replacement, I think you were quite buoyed by that conversation, weren't you?
Oh, get off. I mean, honestly, I phoned Big John because I'd read on his Instagram that he'd had a knee up. And I went, a replacement. And I went, okay, I'll ring a big man. He'll reassure me. But not to worry about Andy, it's a piece of cake, you know, I'd had it done, I could have had two done if I wanted, but nah. So I phoned him, big man, how is it? I'm getting an EOX and I'm getting my replacement, everything okay with that piece of cake? Oh Andy, oh, the worst pain I've ever had in my life, I cannot tell you. John,
John, I phoned up to be reassured there wouldn't be much pain. The big man destroyed me, honestly.
Well, I put that back into perspective for you. My mother had two done after 60. So, and bearing in mind you've been in hospital beds most of your life for different sorts of ops, you'll be fine. Trust me, you'll be fine.
I'll be all right, then. I'll be fine.
If you're listening in the Middle East and North Africa ahead of Saturday afternoon, Arsene Wenger with us on our programme this weekend as a capable substitute, but not obviously as good as the original.
Who's away?
No. If you want to follow us, incidentally, please do tell your mates where we are. You can follow us on Insta and Twitter at Keys and Grey Pod. Keys and A-N-D Grey Pod. Thank you once again for listening. Big thanks to Davey, Andy, and for everybody to help made that happen. It was a wonderful conversation. Good luck, my friend. I'll talk to you in the week.
Okay, son. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.